Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Okay, now next story is one that really hits very close to home, being that Kaya 959 is a media house. In the broadcasting realm, we are well aware of, I guess, the nuances of media and the business of owning a media company and running it in South Africa. But print has certainly felt the pressure. And maybe this is a question I can put to you. When last did you buy a newspaper? Maybe even a magazine? When you read through it, were you happy with the content? Would you still pay out a good buck for the content that you read within our publications? I ask this because essentially what we have seen is headlines and reports that four major newspaper publications under Media 24 are likely going to be closing their operations by the end of this year. City Press, Rapport, Beeld, and Daily Sun. Now, from a statement that's been issued by the CEO of Media 24, there is no confirmation just yet around any speculation of these the closure of these particular publications, but they have mentioned that they do continuously review and protect the viability and long-term sustainability of their operations. But we thought to sidestep and really speak to not only a peer, but a well-respected peer within our industry, Rob Rose, to give us some perspective on the state of SA media and a lot of the challenges we've been witnessing within the financial sustainability of media houses, especially in the print space. Rob Rose is a multi-award-winning investigative journalist and also former editor of the Financial Mail. Always a pleasure to speak to you, Rob.
Yeah, great to be here.
Great to touch base with you. This one, I guess, is an interesting one, but also a sore point for both you and I, given that we work in the media. We've worked for these print entities before, so hearing of their potential closure isn't much of a surprise, but is not very kind news.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, you've seen a lot of publications losing a lot of circulation over the last, I suppose, 15 years. And it's meant that it's a tough sell for advertisers. And you've certainly seen a lot of them taking a big knock. And we've had a lot of them go out of business already. So I think that, you know, the news publications that you're talking of, while no decision is final, the circulation figures suggest a vulnerability there. And you know, as you know, the economy's been a bit fragile for a couple of years and there hasn't been much room to grow. I mean, you've seen digital news do pretty well. You've seen the likes of News 24 have more than, I think it now has more than 100,000 subscribers. But it's a different beast, you know, selling online news compared to print news. There's a lot more costs and it's a difficult market, clearly.
Mm. For anyone who might not be familiar with, I guess, the process, the cost or the business side of printing a newspaper, help us contextualize it very briefly.
And sure, well, I guess essentially, essentially it's difficult because you firstly have to pay a lot of production people to produce these newspapers and magazines and publications. But then, and print costs have gone through the roofs over the last couple of years, certainly after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, print costs, increased vastly. And I think the reduced number of publications printing means that, you know, the printing houses have put up their costs much more than that. And then after that, you have to distribute your publications to various places. I mean, you know, people sell them on the side of the road and you have to get them to places where you can actually sell them. So there's a whole lot of extra costs and it's become, as margins have slimmed a lot, it's become a lot harder to justify those kind of costs. You don't have the fat built into the system that you did, you know, in the 1950s and 60s when that was all there was. I mean, people got their news from newspapers. Now you have the internet, which has fundamentally changed the game.
Definitely. And as you've mentioned, this is because of a plethora of issues or I guess changes we've seen, how we consume news, the availability of news and online. But even online itself, we've also seen a number of publications implementing a paywall here. And I guess this also contextualizes how it is that media houses and publications try to drive revenue.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's been two particular models for online, one of which is the subscription model. And I think that News 24 has done pretty well because they've now got 100,000 subscribers, which has helped, I think, change the culture of people paying for news online. That's been a good thing. The likes of MoneyWeb 2 have introduced paywalls, Business Live, there are various publications that have done it. But the other side is that you had donor-funded media, which has also grown. And that's kind of, you know, publications like Daily Maverick, like Amabongani, which have been funded by donations. And I suppose that's also grown globally. That's been a big growth center. And you've seen a lot of investigative news move towards that because investigative news is, you know, it adds real value to democracy, but it's really expensive to fund, and it doesn't result in everyday stories. So these are, you know, news is expensive, and paywalls, as much as people hate them, you know, you have to pay journalists just salaries so that they can go and find out what's happening.
And I think this is also important to highlight, especially in a world where over the last few weeks we've been hearing about what disinformation and misinformation and how critical this becomes as well to make sure that the news is verified, authentic and professionally conducted.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. As you know, it's kind of, if you don't have enough checks and balances, you don't have enough people who will stop journalists from, you know, who will ask the question to say, like, where did this come from? How is this sourced? You know, can we get another source on this? I mean, you have to have those kind of checks and balances in a news environment to make sure the news is credible. And I think that's a lot of the online publications globally, I think, and certainly in the US, struggled a lot with that, thinking you could just start up a digital organization and not have sub-editors, not have fact-checkers, not have, you know, that particular barrier level means that you have stuff that isn't checked. So you have a proliferation of news on Twitter, for example. But I think a lot of it is, as we've seen over this election period, a lot of it is people pushing specific agendas and what they want. And it's very easy for misinformation to, you know, to gain a currency on something like Twitter because there's no verification level. And I think we've seen that kind of completely go crazy over the last couple of years, even especially during COVID as well. And that's the kind of thing we really need to avoid. So I think what you've seen is the public tends to believe certain credible news sources, and that's very useful, I suppose, brand equity. And that's why the New York Times, for example, has done really well globally, because it has tended to be believed and credible. People say if it's in the New York Times, well, then it's probably been checked. And you want to have that sense that what people are saying to you in the news is true. You certainly don't want it to be, you know, people to think, well, maybe.
Exactly. Rob, before I let you go, I know we're under pressure for time, but I think this also raises a twofold question. The impact of job losses, not only for the journalists and managers, cleaners, publishers, printing firms within the space, but even, I guess, the guys down the road that we know at traffic lights who would typically sell newspapers, but also help us understand how this then, I guess, reframes our thinking around the future of media publications in South Africa and the globe.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's been the thing, is that you have online news. People now have, there's more than one cell phone per person in the country, so news is easily delivered on your cell phone. So it has changed the dynamics of the way news is consumed, and that obviously has an impact down the line. You know, like you say, the people who used to be on the side of the road selling you four newspapers, a lot of those guys aren't there anymore, and if they are, they're probably selling just one. And a lot of people aren't buying it because they've read the news already. So it's become very tough to do it. And I do think that, you know, media industry can't dissociate itself from the wider economy. The economy has really been struggling. Mm. And in a country where you have essentially 40% unemployment at the expanded level, you know, we struggle to get economic growth. Companies aren't growing as much as they want to. There's not much good news for them to talk about. It is difficult. And the media industry is, I suppose, subject to the whims of South Africa and then subject to a global squeeze on media in general. So I think it's you know, it's right between the rock and a hard place.
Indeed. Rob, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir, and gaining your insight. And I guess this is a story we'll certainly touch on and reflect on in months and years to come as a key indicator of the evolution, really, of print media in South Africa. And unfortunately, perhaps its demise. That's Rob Rose, multi-award-winning investigative journalist and former editor of the Financial Mail. He's also the phenomenal journalist who we've often spoken to around stories like Steinhoff and Steinheist, critical stories that have really shaped the business landscape, but also livelihoods in South Africa overall. Let this be a reminder that the fifth estate is a critical one. That is the media, that is the work that we do, not only on radio and on air as we are doing now, but across the plethora of how it is that we're able to deliver content and news to you, especially within newspapers, online publications. Paywalls are proving to be critical and necessary, but at the same time, we're also trying to democratize access to news and information. It's a tough one, but we will solve for it.
You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.